Thomas makes four appearances in the Bible as one of Jesus' closest followers. Tradition has it that he was a traveler, an apostle sent on an important mission. After the events of the resurrection and the ascension, Thomas is said to have traveled from Jerusalem across the Middle East into Persia, modern-day Iran, and then all the way to southern India, spreading the good news of Jesus as he went. Thomas founded a church in South India, and the church named after him still exists today. It's one of the most ancient Christian communities in the worldwide church, and still alive and kicking today. Thomas was called and sent. Thomas went all the way to the edges of the known world at that time. So he was called and sent, and he went faithfully about his mission. And as he traveled, what was it that sustained him in his mission? What was it that he had to share with the people as he went? As I mentioned before, Thomas appears four times in the Bible, and all his appearances are in John's Gospel. And we meet Thomas having different encounters with Jesus. And there are probably certain things that stand out from those encounters that help shape Thomas in his mission. First of all, in John 11, Thomas demonstrates a commitment for something bigger than himself, a cause or a project to which he's willing to give himself totally. Jesus, at that point in the gospel, is fixing his face on Jerusalem, beginning the journey that finishes with his arrest and crucifixion. The other disciples start to warn Jesus of the danger that he's about to face. But Thomas cries out, "Let us also go with him, so that we might die with him." It's a really dramatic statement. Probably Thomas didn't understand the consequences of what he was saying. But what is clear is his total devotion to Jesus, but also his commitment to the mission that he was on. It was a mission that goes beyond his own personal desires or plans, and it's a mission that he believes passionately that can change the world. And the next time we meet him is probably in one of those most well-known passages in John 14. This time, he's less confident. It's after the disciples have eaten the Last Supper with Jesus, and Jesus is trying to prepare them for what's about to happen. He talks about going ahead to prepare a special place for God's people so that where he is, others can follow later on. And Jesus says those words, "And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas replies, "Lord, we don't know the way. How can we believe?" Those are questions, perfectly logical questions, and Thomas isn't afraid to ask them. And then later on, we get to today's passage, probably the most famous passage about Thomas and the one that gives him his nickname, Doubting Thomas. We're told he wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples in John's account. And Thomas demands some further proof. "Unless I see the marks of the nails, and unless I can put my finger in those marks and put my hand in Jesus' side, I won't believe that he's risen from the dead." Finally, a week later, it happens again. Jesus appears, says the words, "Peace be with you," and then he turns to Thomas. And Thomas' request from the week before is honored. He's able to touch Jesus physically, and he utters those simple words of faith, "My Lord and my God." There's commitments, there's questions, there's doubts, there's faith. That's what Thomas ultimately has to share with the world. And that's the gift he gives to us today. The thing about questions and doubt is that to be constructive, questions and doubts are things that have to be shared. It's no good keeping those thoughts circling around our heads if we don't ask the questions. Asking the questions, airing the doubts, and talking about them are the ways in which we learn, and they're the ways in which, as church community and as Christians, we're built up in faith. Questions help shape our faith. It's natural that we ask questions. And if Thomas was going to receive any answers or any kind of reassurance to his doubt and his questions, he had to stay close to Jesus in order to get those answers. He was never going to figure them out entirely on his own. But the great example of Thomas is later on, he wasn't afraid to share what he was thinking and also what he learned. Imagine Thomas founding those churches in South India, actually being prepared to stand up in front of people and saying, these were my doubts, these were my questions, and these were how Jesus answered them. And of course, it would have been easy to shy away from the questions and the doubts, just to take the words of Jesus as spoken. It could have been easy for Thomas just to close his ears to the answers. And some of the answers he really didn't want to hear. Some of those answers could lead inevitably to consequences for his life. Did Thomas know that his life was going to end in being sent out as an apostle to the edge of the known world? But his questions set up one of the greatest statements of faith that's recorded in the Bible. How can we know the way? Do not doubt, but believe, says Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. And all Thomas can say in response to this is, my Lord and my God. Total acknowledgement, total devotion, total surrender. And set up by his honest encounters with Jesus, that passion continues to burn within Thomas. It turns into a strong conviction of faith, and that faith in Jesus allows him to step out of the boundaries and set forth on his mission. Those questions, those doubts, and how they were addressed and how they were answered by Jesus were the things that would sustain him when his mission took him into places he possibly didn't want to go, where he was encountering far more questions and doubts as he started to establish those early churches. And it would have been almost certain that there would have been more and more questions that came up as he went on. But his faith gave him the treasure he had to share with those he met along the way. Thomas was a great example, and of course, his legacy lives on today. I don't like the term doubting Thomas. I think doubts and questions are completely natural. I also think they're really healthy things. Because we all get questions about commitment. At times, we all doubt. We all struggle to believe. What is blind faith? If we could sit down with God and ask God the questions we really want to ask, what would those questions be? Completely unique and different for all of us. So I say to you today, what are the doubts that you want to explore? Don't be ashamed of those doubts. Don't be ashamed of asking the questions, because questions and how they're answered are how we come to believe, how we come to share faith with each other, and how we build one another up as a church and as a community. But alongside the questions and the doubts, what are the things that stir you? What are the causes that set you on fire? The things that you're individually passionate about? What are the things that burn in your hearts that say, I actually want to go out there and do something about it? You could ask the question, what is the faith that I'm being called to put into action. I'm going to offer you an invitation this morning. Tell me about those questions and those doubts. Ring me, email me, make an appointment. We'll meet, we'll talk in a safe and confidential way. Together, with God's help, we'll unpack together some of those questions and some of those doubts, but also some of that faith. Together, we'll see what we can make of it. You might be ready to set off around the world on a godly adventure. You could be contemplating all sorts of other things in between. But whatever it is, I invite you to share it, because that's how churches and congregations grow together, but also in their discipleship as well. Thomas was called and sent, and he went out in faith. Where's God calling and sending you today? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.